Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host of Speak Your Mind Radio, Arthur Brenda Wynn, where we talk about real topics, real life situations. You name the topic, we provide you with the avenue to speak your mind. Speak Your Mind Radio is the place to let your words be heard. Start time of Speak Your Mind Radio is 9 p.m. Eastern Time. The number to call in and go live is 1-845-241-9982. Press 1 to speak, or you can just listen. Once again, welcome to Speak Your Mind Radio with the world-renowned and beautiful host, Arthur Brenda Williams.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Speak Your Mind Radio. My name is Brenda Williams. I am your host. And we have a very, very interesting topic tonight. The interesting topic that we had tonight is, how does mental health play a role in your relationship? Can it increase a positive relationship? And, you know, could it just become something that's positive and just create happiness or positivity? A lot of people suffer from a lot of different mental illnesses, and these mental illnesses that people suffer from, they do affect the relationships. So one of the questions was asked is, does mental health play an important role in relationships? And again, I would say yes, absolutely. It does, because one's mental state is important when it comes to the relationship. So again, the question that I was asked is, does it play a role in it? And I'm going to say yes. I am going to read a little bit of information, or I would say a little bit of statistics and information, just on the subject in hand. So they say that with mental health, different issues, it creates shame, guilt, resentment. Having mental illness is hard enough, but the stigma associated with mental health conditions can add extra layers of stress for both partners. The person with the mental illness may feel ashamed, may feel embarrassment, may feel guilt, may feel resentment, or they just may feel inadequate. So the guilt in that condition, that is something that could trigger, you know, a relationship spiral issue. They may try to hide their symptoms, basically are fail to seek help when they need it, primarily because of the embarrassment factor. They feel like trying to ask somebody for help for their issue may cause worse problems, but in reality, one doesn't know what the other person's going through when they're in this relationship. One doesn't realize what somebody suffered through, what somebody's experienced, what life experiences that someone has. So when the question's asked is, does mental health play a positive role in increasement or decreasement of relationships, I would say yes. You have those out there who have the daddy syndrome, and the daddy syndrome is they don't want to be alone. So they're going to let whatever happen to them as long as they're not alone, regardless of what you do. And it's just the alone. So you have some of them, you have some people out there with such severe mental health issues that in the back of their mind, they feel like somebody should hit them and beat them. And that's okay, because a part of that person still loves them. I'm here to tell you, and I'm here to be honest with you. Anybody who lifts a hand to you, whether it's a man or a woman, doesn't deserve you, doesn't technically love you. It takes a lot of hate, and it takes a lot of anger to put your hands on somebody. It's like an escalation type thing. So when somebody does something like that, that's not saying, I love you. That's just saying, hey, I might like you, but I'm going to beat you anyway. What can a bad relationship do when it comes to mental health? There's five toxic relationships are ruining your life. Toxic relationships destroy your self-esteem, self-confidence, and self-image, and they deeply impact your relationship. Toxic relationships consume your energy. A toxic relationship is also a marathon of your effort geared toward making sure the other person is happy. So when we talk about a toxic relationship and how somebody is geared towards making somebody else happy, no matter what you're going through or no matter what you're feeling, as long as you're working and making that other person happy, that's a toxic relationship. Even if this person's hitting you, doing stuff to you, burning you, putting cigarettes out on your body, the toxic relationship that varies is that the person doesn't mind if these things are happening to them. So there's a lot of different things. And again, I'm reading actual factual things here because this is not a topic that I really know a lot about. How relationships affect health and well-being. Positive mental health of the relationships can affect anyone's health and well-being. Positive mental is one of the far reacting that somebody will give you out of a toxic relationship. A good night's sleep, weight gain, alcohol, drugs, and smoking, all these things can be associated with an unhealthy relationship being caused by some sort of mental illness. Some people have mental illnesses that cause them to eat excessively. Some have mental illnesses that cause them to do drugs excessively. So all of it's tied to some sort of mental illness. So like I said, the questions that are being asked here, they're really, really good questions. I don't mind really answering them. And I want people to know that, you know, if you're on the line and you have a question or if this is something that you've experienced, you know, you need to let us know. And so they say 10 signs of an unhealthy relationship to keep the partner's action, the words, a secret. If you can't tell a friend or a family member about things your boyfriend or your husband says or does, then your partner wants to change. If your boyfriend or husband doesn't love you or doesn't love each other, then it's time for the hills. The partner does not trust you. More or less, the partner other does not also trust the lover as well. So there's a couple of different things, again, when it comes to the different levels of mental health and how does it increase or decrease relationships. You can have one person that's suffering from, self-esteem issues. So you may have one person that suffers, and not every single condition is considered like a mental health issue, not all. But you can have someone that's suffering from a mental disability, which they ashamed of themselves, ashamed of certain parts of themselves, ashamed how others would perceive them, which leads me to my topic tonight. I was asked to do this topic from several different people who are, they're suffering some sort of mental health disability, and they've been trying to get help for it. They're not able to get help. And let me say this ahead of time. I'm not a doctor, so I can't give you any advice. None of my advice is FDA approved or doctor approved. I did speak with Master Yao, which Master Yao does a lot of whole health healing. He does a lot of health healing and stuff like that. So, again, I'm going to read a couple of these since I was asked a few different questions. So one person told me that they are in the lifestyle, which I did talk about that on one of my shows, but they're in the lifestyle, and their wife is more or less the one who is not so much interested in it. However, the gentleman is interested in it. But he said that his thing is he has a shame about his body, certain aspects of his body. He said that he did have a surgery, and the surgery that he had was a weight loss surgery, which in return did give him a lot of, like, loose weight on his body. So he has a phobia about that. He has a guilt or a shame about that. Now, his wife is not complaining, and anybody that he's played with hasn't complained. But his complex and his mental illness comes from him not accepting himself as is. And again, I'm not a doctor, so I can't really give advice, But I can just give you this piece of advice that's coming from me to you. You got to be able to love yourself, love your body, love and accept who you are before you can get anybody else to do it and not have a second thought. A lot of us carry around the guilt, the shame. A lot of us carry around the feeling of just inadequacy or just the feeling of I'm not perfect or this person does this better or maybe I don't do this better. It's just all about the effort that you put into it and how it makes you feel is what's most important. If you're not getting no complaint from your wife and you're not getting no complaints from the women that you're dealing with, hey, I wouldn't worry about it. There's also ways to self-better yourself. Now, I'm going to tell you something about that surgery that somebody told me about. Somebody just told me that actually had the same surgery, that if you get a rash, like, up under your stomach and you go back to the doctor, they consider that a medical condition. So they'll actually cut that off for you. So I'm like, well, you know, I got a lot of extra stuff. I just had a rash the other day. Why she tell me this late? I wouldn't have went to the doctors and got it all cut off. But I did just hear that. And then also the burn center. And I'm just giving this advice for somebody who's actually asking it. Because he asked about the burn center. He heard something about the burn center. Okay, the burn center will do it as well. But the burn center wants you to pay for the anesthesia. You know, I told him, why should I pay for anything? They can have, like, they say, like, the extra fat in between your legs, the stuff that jiggles, they say they actually use that for burn victims from faces. I got at least 12 to 14 faces they can have free. I'm just saying. I told him he could take it and donate to science. I don't know. But anyway, I answered that for you. And then one young lady just asked, what are some of the signs that you can tell that if you're in a toxic relationship? Again, I'm not a doctor or anything. I'm just going to read you what I'm finding, and I hope it's the truth. I'm getting off of Wikipedia. So toxic relationships destroy your self-esteem, self-confidence, self-image, and deeply impact your relationship. Toxic relationships consume your energy. A toxic relationship is often a marathon of your effort geared towards making sure the other person is happy. So I'll give you an example. You don't really want to go to the movies tonight, but you're going to go to the movies tonight because your significant other wants to go. That's not what you really want to do. You really prefer to sit home and just sulk in your own misery. I don't know. But a toxic relationship is somebody who is not going to say nothing. Even if what the other person is gearing towards is negative, they're not going to say anything because they're so fixated with this person, they're going to allow that to actually go down. That's a toxic relationship. Another toxic relationship to me, and I know I'm probably going to lose some callers over this, and I do apologize. If this is you, I apologize. I can't stand a coward-ass man, and that's why I said ass, coward-ass man that puts his hands on another woman. That's a toxic relationship. And what makes the relationship even more toxic is her dumb ass that goes back to him. You got one time to lift a hand at me. And that might be your last hand, but trust me, I'm not going to come back to you. That's a toxic relationship where you find yourself in an emergency room every other week, but the next week, because he don't bought you some flowers and bought you an outfit, you love him again, so okay, you're going to let him come back. You're an idiot. He an idiot for touching you. You're a bigger idiot from letting him come back. Okay, so if I offended anybody, I do apologize. That's also the example of a toxic relationship. Another toxic relationship is somebody just asked about, and again, not all of my callers know about the lifestyle world. If you didn't, find my interview. Gives you a lot of information on it. But I was just asked that if somebody's in a lifestyle and let's say the man wants to continuously do this, but the woman just basically has no interest. Her interest is in her man, but she doesn't really have an interest in doing this. Is that a toxic relationship? I'm going to say yes and no, because I would hate to think that the woman is taking some for the team to satisfy the man. That's toxic, because now you got your woman sleeping with people that she don't want to sleep with, when all she's fine with is sleeping with you. So that to me would, yes, be considered as a toxic relationship if you ask me. All right, so I'm trying to answer you guys' questions to the best of my ability. They're coming in pretty fast. I see you guys on the line. Before I come in and answer any pick up any lines. I just got to finish these other questions because I'm sorry they were asked before you guys came on. And then another question it says is, how does the relationship, how would one's mental health affect the relationship as far as well-being or not? Well, positive mental health or ways of relationship can affect anyone's health, anyone's well-being. Positive mental health is the most far-reacting you can ever come as. Good night's sleep is important. I know none of us get those, because if you get them, raise your hand. I know none of you people on the line are going to raise their hand. Weight gain is a part of it. They say alcohol, drugs, and smoking plays a part of it, but for me, sometimes smoking is therapy. I don't have a messed up day, and I may need to smoke to get my nerves right. As far as the alcohol, I would say alcohol is okay as long as you're not having large assumptions. As long as you're not drinking enough that you don't remember what happened, or you don't did some stuff and you can't figure out what happened or why you did it. That's too much drinking. But that can also have a negative impact on a relationship, because once somebody gets to where they're so drunk, that actually impairs their judgment and impairs their thinking, which has them then saying stuff. Sometimes when you get drunk, the mental health really comes out because the emotional part of you comes out. So stuff that you may have been wanting to say when you were sober, you might not be able to say them till you're drunk. They say the truth comes out when somebody get real drunk. I don't know if that's true, because I don't. The only thing I remember doing getting real drunk is going to sleep, so I don't remember. But yes, I thank everybody for coming on and listening. You guys have like a lot of questions tonight, and I thought that you guys were going to be asking them, but you guys just want me to ask them, so I will continue. And, okay, so I have a young man on the line, and the young man stating that he's in a toxic relationship with this young lady because she's used to toxic relationships and because she's used to people talking to her anyway, she automatically expects him to talk to her anyway, but he's a different type of person. He doesn't just talk to women any type of way. It wasn't how he was raised. So because this woman is used to people talking to her anyway, she tends to pick arguments with him. She tries to figure out why we're not arguing, why we're not fighting. That to me is toxic. You can't bring what happened to you from one relationship to the next. So if you've been in relationships where people have done stuff to you, women have done hurtful things to you, or men have done hurtful things to you, but now you up in your new relationship harboring all of that and in the back of your mind feeling like, okay, this is going to happen on this relationship too. Part of that is toxic as well, because you're not allowing that other relationship to grow because you're holding on to stuff from the previous one. It's like, it's almost like the racist person. The racist person will sit and tell you in a minute, I don't dislike all of certain ethnical backgrounds. It's not all of them, it's just some of them. Now, you'll be looking on this same racist person's timeline, and they'll have nooses on there. You'll have them on there saying all types of things. But then they're trying to talk to you like everything's all right. Those are the people right there, to me, that are toxic, because those are the ones that will get you in your backyard and do stuff to you. And then they'd be like, well, you came. You didn't see my timeline with all them nooses on my timeline. To me, that's something that toxic could happen. That's just my opinion. So I was just giving my opinion of it. I do have a young lady who does want to come in. She does want to remain anonymous. Again, you don't never have to give your name. You can just come in and you can speak. I won't hold you to wanting to know your name. Okay. So now she doesn't want to come on because she feels like if the person she's talking about is on, it's going to affect what responses she gets. Okay. So her question is, she sees people around her that are already in relationships, like married women or married men, and it's so easy for them to actually be with someone. But when it comes to her being with someone, she can't be with anyone. And she's trying to ask herself, like she's asked the last few men that she was with, what was it that she did that made them not want to be with her? Well, I'm going to answer part of this question, okay? And I hope this part of this question is right of what I'm about to say. And I hope it does not offend you. I do see that you're on here, and I'm sorry if it does offend you. But this is your problem. You're looking for love in all the wrong places. you're looking to just pick up anybody and be in a relationship with anybody, but you don't even know yourself yet. You haven't even figured out who you are yet as a person. So before you can try to build a relationship or try to build a foundation with anyone, you have to know who you are first. You have to know what you want first, what you're looking for. Look at yourself. Let me tell you, I tell everybody this, and again, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist. I don't know if what I'm telling you is going to work or may not work. But I tell everybody, look at yourself and ask yourself, would I date myself? Look at yourself. You got to stand outside your body for just 1 minute and stand in front of yourself and think about all the stuff about yourself. And then ask yourself, almost like sell yourself to somebody. Write it down on paper. Tell somebody your qualities versus your faults. Are your imperfections, as we say. Let me tell you, everybody has imperfections. Everybody got something wrong with them in some way, some shape, or form. And there's nobody that's perfect. If there was anybody that's perfect, we would all need, nobody would need improvement. So everybody can use some improvement, but if you don't actually accept yourself and love yourself and see yourself as somebody to look up to, how can you expect anybody else to look up to you? That is my thoughts to you, and I hope what I said helps you. And it's something that I tell you all the time. Like I said, I don't have to say names. It's something that I tell all the time. All right, so does mental health status affect relationships? Many relationships have their ups and downs, but one or more of them in this relationship is experiencing some sort of mental health problem. It can bring additional challenges. Mental health can be extremely stressful, traumatic for everyone involved. It can be a huge impact to you and others. When it comes to mental health and emotional behavior, consequences of a relationship can go largely overlooked. It's clear that the individual's mental health problem has consequences for others within their social networking and their family. Now, we're going to talk about this, okay? And one of my pet peeves, and I know that I have told everybody on here, I have told people on Facebook, I've told people on social media, I've told people all over the place, I cannot stand to know what somebody is going through on their timeline. So I shouldn't know on your timeline that you're fighting through life and you're asking for prayer, but then the next day, you're hating everything about your life, hating everything about yourself. But then the next day, you love yourself because you've got all these scars that you've healed up on your own. But then the next day, you're still hating yourself again. Or I shouldn't know that your baby daddy cheated on you and he's a lowlife and he's posting pictures in Florida or wherever, but he ain't even paid no child support. This is what I mean about people's lives. People's lives on social media. Nobody needs to know your entire life on social media. Your life is your life. And your life is what you make of it. Nobody should be able to look at your timeline and know that you're going through something. With that being said, I'm going to take a quick commercial because I have people asking questions and wanting me to ask questions, and I'm just getting tired of talking. So y'all need to ask your own questions. But in the meantime, I'm going to play something from Joe Wallace. It's actually a new song I just recently got. You can look him up on Facebook. This brother has a lot of good things going on for himself. But I was pretty excited to hear his track, so I'm going to go ahead and play it on Speak Your Mind Radio for the first time.
Chance to jump on this freestyle, should've knew I was gon' lock it in. The seeds that I planted, it's a blessing to see them blossom in. Finally feel like I'm on top again. Well, actually, it's my first time here. It ain't going nowhere, I'm making that so clear. Millionaire, entrepreneur, added rap to the career. Really, just diversifying my portfolio. Just closed on a $1 million property in Tokyo. One thing I mastered in the Japanese language, how to ask for directions to where the closest bank is. A certain handshake in this brotherhood will let them know exactly what your rank is. Change yen over with a Franklin. Leave nothing on a plate, not a crumb on them dishes. I leave it so clean it looks like a dog came and licked it. And all that does is frustrate the competition. They tripping like I'm the reason their keys to success is missing. Have you checked the bedroom, living room, kitchen? You ready to go but can't find what's needed for the ignition? Back that up, your keys to success is missing. The last few lines of resemblance of how you feeling. Flip-flops in a ball cap may seem hood. I can work home in pajamas, then make sure my team good. Drop that wine-made version, now let's see if it start taking off. Lemon pepper freestyle, Joe Waters, Drake and Ross. I touched a half a mil when I was 18. That's why most of these rappers don't entertain me. I see through all the untruthfulness of what they're saying. The culture doesn't care if they fake, if the beat's banging. Look at this new lane that I'm shaping. Thinking on investing, entrepreneurship and savings. Nobody care cause you're hating. We're too focused on this positive movement that we're creating.
All right, all right, all right. That was Mr. Joe Wallace and his song. I heard it like a few weeks back, and I was like, that's pretty hot. He's doing a lot of great things. I see him in the community doing a lot of great things. So I definitely had to give his song some play. Definitely had to give his song some play. Kind of hot track as well. So I'm kind of digging that, definitely. So, again, you can look him up on Facebook, find out more about him and his music and everything he has to offer. Again, his name is Joe, J-O-E, last name Wallace. Check him out. So back to our topic in hand, and we were talking about mental health. How does it increase or decrease relationships? With mental health, different issues, looking after family members, dealing with mental health issues can be extremely stressful. And coping with the stress, it may result in various reactions and symptoms included symptomatic problems, migraines, loss of appetite, fatigue, insomnia, different emotional problems, anxiety, depression, guilt, fear, anger, confession, everything, behavioral troubles, changes in attitudes, and social withdrawals. There's a lot that comes along with this when we talk about mental health status and relationships and how it affects it. So if you have somebody who suffers from anxiety, you know, they can skyrocket quick. Like, they can skyrocket before you know it. You look up and some stuff has happened. So definitely it's a hard thing to experience. It's a hard thing to go through. Because, again, we talked earlier about toxic relationships, abuse. One of the questions that I was asked was, why do women stay in toxic relationships, getting beat? Again, that is some sort of a mental health condition. Sometimes a lot of them are diagnosed bipolar. A lot of them are diagnosed with different things. And the thing about it is when somebody is diagnosed bipolar, you know, there's a lot of things going on. God rest her soul. God rest her soul. My sister, she died at 35 years old, and she was bipolar. And the thing about a bipolar person is they can switch up at any given time. Like, you'd see her outside one day, and I can talk about it now because she's been gone for about 8 years, but you see her outside one day, and she'd have this outfit on like she was Spanish, and she'd actually be talking to, like, the Spanish people, you know, in Spanish. So there was a lot of different things that was different about that. But as far as the different problems, there's a lot of different things that go on, like I said, with stress and toxic relationship. Also, it could be a pre-traumatic stress disorder. It could be something that's happened in their past, something that they experienced as a child, something that they've never actually got away from. They also say loneliness and PTSD, that plays a part of it as well. Because PTSD can potentially make a person very difficult to be around. It's often undiagnosed. The individual may feel isolated and alone. That's there. Anger management issues. Now, I know somebody. I ain't going to say her name in case she's on the phone. But I know somebody with some anger management issues. And some people, for the moment, they have reoccurring stress and anxiety lead to outbursts and anger and rage. This can result in child or spousal abuse or even public violence. This person was somebody who was involved in spousal abuse, but it was a different type of spousal abuse. It was like the verbal. And, you know, we all know verbal is sometimes just as bad as mental. So it's receiving help can relieve a person's symptoms and heal them from the trauma, allowing them to continue live their lives without really addressing it. They never get it under control, and the PTSD remains. I know somebody asked the question of how do you determine PTSD? Well, it can be determined a lot of different ways. But if there's a trauma that you remembered and something happens and it triggers it, and it triggers you to act that particular way, that's the indication that PTSD can be a part of it. So sometimes when people go through things as a young age and they just don't get help for it, it sticks with them. And then they carry it to their adult age, and then they have certain different problems. So I hope I explained it to the best of my ability, the question that was just asked. All right, and... and, okay, so back to the one with the anger management. A young lady says she doesn't feel that she has anger management, but it's just that when she talks to people and they ignore her or they don't listen to her, that does trigger her. Well, that could be a part of PTSD. That's the alone syndrome, loneliness PTSD. The loneliness PTSD, the person does not want to be alone. It bothers them if they're ignored. It bothers them if a person doesn't respond to them and a timely fashion. So there's a lot of different ways that can be addressed as well. Let's see. I'm sorry, guys. I'm trying to answer the question as best to my ability. So how does one determine if they have anxiety? Constant fear of impending danger, panic and doom, weakness or exhaustion, feeling nervous, irritated or on edge, shaking, trembling, increase in heart rate and blood pressure, and just feeling nervous and irritated on edge. Again, I'm not a doctor. I would say you go to your doctor and ask your doctor about these things. And if you have this sort of disorder, there's plenty of medication for it out there. Just be careful with it. So there's a young lady who says, how can you tell about depression? How can you determine if someone, again, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not willing to really provide information on it. I would just say you would need to talk to a doctor. They say with depression, it's different mood disorders. It can cause persistent feeling of sadness or loss of interest. MDD is one of the most common mental health disorders in the United States. Over 2015, nearly 7% of Americans above age 18 experienced an episode of MDD. So I hope that helps. Okay, there are several symptoms associated with MDD. Your question was, how would you know if you're suffering from MDD? The feeling of sadness, irritability nearby every day or most of the day, loss of interest in most activities and joy, weight loss or weight gain, changes in your appetite, trouble falling asleep, staying asleep, lack of energy or feeling energy, feeling worthless or guilt, difficulty concentrating, thinking or making decisions without thinking first, thoughts of self-harm and suicide. So those are the side effects of the depression. So if you feel like you're on this line and you have any of those, I would definitely strongly recommend that you seek medical attention. Again, there's also medications for that as well. So I want to say thank you again for everybody coming on to this very informational show, providing this information in regards to mental health and how does it affect your relationship. All right, and I have a few more questions before I let people come in. Okay, so one of the questions that are asked is, how do you know if certain things or certain situations bring on PTSD? I would just say watch your blood rate. Okay, so I'll tell you an example of something. There's certain people who call my phone, and when they call my phone, I get aggravated. They're not a bill collector, but there's certain people who call my phone, and when I do that, I get very aggravated. I was at the actual doctor's one time, and they was checking my blood pressure and checking my heart rate, and the doctor basically came in, and I guess it was climbing because she had told me to hang up that phone. She was like, I need you to, whoever you're talking to, I need to hang up the phone. So that let me know that talking to these people actually bring on anxiety because it actually brings up my heart rate. Again, they got medications for all of that. But that is one of the ways you tell, you know, if somebody's done something to actually bring up your heart rate or to upset you in any way. That's one of the ways you tell. All right, I'm going to go to a quick break. I will be back. I already played the song by Joe Williams, so if that's you that's up here raising your hand, I'm sorry. I've already actually played that song. So I'm going to go ahead to Latrice Lawrence, new Taking It Back song.
Do you think that everything's about you? Never want to hear what anyone else goes through. Well, I'ma tell you what you don't want to hear. And I'ma make it crystal clear.
Give me peace.
done, I will be woken. I will be woken by precious song, song of love. Sing me love and hold. Yes, hold me,
and I go downtown. Somebody
Yes, sir. So now go, my brother. I say, brother, help me please. Brother, help me please. But somehow he winds up knocking me down, back down. I wouldn't last for long. Now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know change gon' come. Oh yes it will. Oh, I know change. I said, I know, change gonna come.